Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's been over a year since Dan Cook has sat here this time of night. That explains why he doesn't realize I have new bumper music.
What are you talking about? This is great.
I'll just roll out that stuff we used to use. Let me see. Where's it? You know, I should probably have the headphone plugged in, right?
There we go. That usually helps, yeah.
Yeah, I saw your brother today, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was at Maple Grove's football practice. He's an assistant coach, and it was so cold. I mean, it was like you're preparing for the Prep Bowl in a bad week cold, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, no, it feels like, what you know.
And they don't have the dome up there yet because February? Why would you, right? It's October.
Exactly.
And that wind was whistling, and it was, my gosh, that was like goose hunting in December, you know?
You know, I've never been goose hunting in December, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it gets cold.
I can believe that.
Yeah. But that's when the geese move around then a little bit, you know?
So everybody was so bundled up, you couldn't tell whether or not they were actually seeing.
What position does he coach?
I think receivers.
Okay. Yeah, they were out there.
Yeah, I bet they were. I bet they were.
But these poor football teams that are practicing right now, you know, usually even in November, you don't get this kind of weather. I mean, it was brutal cold. It was just cold. And nobody likes cold. I don't care how long you've lived here, you know? Nobody really likes cold. Nobody ever gets used to cold. Your body doesn't get used to cold. Bud Grant tells the story that he used to, it's a great story, that, you know, Bud was known for being able to work through cold conditions. And much of that, people figured his upbringing in Superior, Wisconsin, and then the fact that he hunts and is a great outdoorsman, that somehow he had learned to master cold, that there was some way that he had learned to defeat it. And he... I've been with Bud out hunting before and have shared many, many office conversations with him and whatnot, and I'm always amazed by his stories, his common sense, everything else, his intellect. So he sat his team down in the early 70s because when they started to go to the playoffs, obviously, they'd push it in December, they'd play at Met Stadium, and it would be cold. And so he had to convince his team that it was going to be cold and they could play well anyway. That was the whole premise of what he would say. He'd say, yes, it will be cold, and you can still play good football when it's cold. And so he told them, to illustrate his point, he needed a metaphor, something that they could hold on to, something that they could believe in. And he told them the story about up in Alaska during during the World War II, that era, that Alaska was the first line of defense if Russia ever attacked us. And so they needed to put in the best technology, the best satellite, whatever it was that they needed to put in and install in Alaska where it was very cold. And they'd sent soldiers up there, the military, to do it. And they couldn't do it because it was too cold. So they'd go out to try to engage in and to work through the elements, and they couldn't do it. And so they were getting nothing done. So they went down to the village, and they found the Eskimos that lived in that region, and they said, let's try to employ them to do this for us because maybe they're more used to the cold. And sure enough, they went up there, and the Eskimo would work all through the day. He'd work an 8-hour day, a 10-hour day, whatever needed to be done to get the installation done to build this for the Department of Defense. And they marveled at how well the Eskimo could do this day after day in the cold, the same things that our military couldn't handle. And so that began a test. Do they have a different blood thickness? Is there something about their muscle mass? So they started to test the Eskimos to find out if there was a difference in body makeup versus the military personnel they'd sent up there, and they found out there was absolutely no difference. There was no difference between the Eskimo and the military that worked up there and lived on the base and that tried to do the same thing and couldn't. So the final, what they concluded was, even though it's cold, you can still be productive and work and get things done. Cold doesn't determine whether or not you can be effective. You can choose to work hard and do things well in the cold. It has nothing to do with your body makeup, your genetics, or anything else. It's just a choice. It's a state of mind. And so Bud would then, to his team, say, therefore, you know, we shall choose to play well when it's cold on Sunday because it's a choice that we make. And it can be cold and we can still play good football on Sunday, period. You don't have to worry about whether you were born with it or you've got the makeup, the genetic makeup, all those things. You can do it just like the Eskimos did it. And then Bud would pause and give just that little smile. He'd say, and the best part was, they believe me. He is something, man. And he can tell a story, too. So Jimmy Butler, I'm told, didn't make the trip to Milwaukee. So why would you come to practice yesterday if you're not going to go to Milwaukee today? We can open up the phone lines on this if you want Jimmy Butler or not. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. There are lots of theories about Jimmy Butler. Obviously, he orchestrated yesterday. Once he had ESPN set up, then he went to the practice, and he got volatile or whatever it was in practice. And then once the social media started to move on that, which they orchestrated and released to ESPN, he and his agent, then he needed to go on TV to let all those general managers out there that might be interested in trading for him, let them know that, hey, I mean, it's just me because I just want to win so bad. I want to win so bad. And so I can't help myself. It's just, it's all about winning to me. It's all about winning. So you've come back for one practice this whole training camp. And then theories started to manifest that maybe Tom Thibodeau and him were in this. Maybe this was Thibodeau's way of getting his team's attention. Let me tell you something. If Jimmy Butler really respected Tom Thibodeau, he'd be at practice. Because they could still trade him. Just because he's practicing with the team, he could still have his trade granted. That has nothing to do with whether or not he's playing with the Timberwolves right now. They could still trade him anytime. If he truly respected Coach Tibbs, he'd be there. You don't spit in the face of somebody that helped you like this. Last year, word began to leak from inside the Timberwolves offices, locker room, etc., that this was not the best guy anybody had ever met. And to an extent, you always have to defend Jimmy Butler because you can quantify what he did when he got here. That he took them in a direction they hadn't gone before, and he probably provided that locker room with something that they needed to an extent. Young players needed to see how the game had to be played to an extent. Probably got too much credit for that as well. Because when you dig deep and you talk to some of the people that maybe he played with, they say, you know, Jimmy's not the defender. Just because you say I'm going to work hard on defense doesn't mean you're necessarily the defender that you claim to be. Just because you say defense is important, and that doesn't mean you can shut somebody down. The other theory that's out there is that on this team and the makeup of this team, and every team has a pyramid, right? It goes up, especially in the NBA, it goes up to the top. And the theory is that he needs to be challenged more. And the only people, the way that it works in a hierarchy in the NBA, the only people that are allowed to challenge him in the unwritten rules of the NBA are Karl Anthony Towns mainly and Andrew Wiggins. These are the two that are allowed, quote-unquote, to get in his face. They're the only two because they had long-term contracts, they've got the status, they've got enough of it. Jeff Teague could, too, because he's a street-tough kid. He's one of those guys that's not afraid of a fight. But he chooses not to because he and Butler are buddies, etc. So another theory is that Towns in particular needs to step up and get in Jimmy's face. And the theory is that Towns and Wiggins are both potentially wonderful basketball players, but that's not their makeup. They're not interested in that fight. They're not interested in retribution against Jimmy. They got so much money right now that a part of them may say, well, what's the difference if Jimmy Butler's here with us or not? What's the difference? What's the difference if I like him or not? I get paid the same. So if you're leaning on those two to be the ones that try to service this, because the other guys can't, Taj Gibson can't do it, you know? Derek Rose, he'd probably listen to Derek a little bit, but I think Derek's indifferent to it at this part of his career, too. And Tibbs doesn't have his attention. Then you're in trouble because he gets to run the team in the league. Then today, you've heard some of this, but it just brings up, they canceled practice. Well, I'm told that they canceled practice, but they had a weightlifting session. And then there was a rumor. One person said that there was a players-only meeting that Butler was heavily involved in. Jeff Teague tweeted and said there was no players-only meeting. Now, in theory, they could have had a lifting session that turned into an informal meeting, or guys might have started talking if Butler was there, and I don't know if he was or not. If he didn't get on the plane to Milwaukee, he still could have been, I guess, at the lifting session, but why he wouldn't go play a game, I have no idea. So they could have, but see, if the way the NBA rules work is, if you have an official practice, then you have to be available to the media. So what they did was they short-circuited that. You can have an optional practice, and it can be optional enough that everybody shows up, but you don't have to talk to the media then if it's an optional workout, if guys don't have to be there, if it's not mandatory. So I think they circumvented it that way. Let's go to Jim on line one. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Maxie. Say, Butler is Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant, and Le'Veon Bell all rolled into one, and then worse. If anyone thinks this is about winning, that's a bunch of crap. He's mad he didn't get the max contract. If he ever plays for this team again, I'll never watch him again.
But they've offered him as much as they can offer him right now.
I know what they did, but I'm saying he's just a pain.
He is a pain.
I see how what New York goes through with a lot of these big athletes. Let him sit on the bench, pay him his money, and I think Tibbs should be fired too.
Well, I tell you what, if it doesn't get resolved here soon, Tibbs and Scott Layden are in trouble. It's that simple. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Calvin. Calvin on line two. Calvin, you're on.
Hey, Max. Hey, I really like your analysis there. This is very interesting. I think it's basically personalities. You know, everyone's personality is just coming out, and it's kind of beautiful to see, really. I mean, you see Glenn Taylor at the top, you know, with the power. You know, throughout the years, he's always with KG and Love. You know, you kind of always saw his personality, but Tibbs, it's always his system. It's his guys. Butler, you know, he's that critic. You know, for good or for bad, he's going to tell you what's on his mind. And really, hopefully, he stepped up, you know, really with his back to the wall, and he's being vocal. You know, I really hope this, you know, makes everyone just wake up, because watching in the preseason or listening on WCCO here, it's been a joke. I mean, there's no energy, no passion. And Butler, for good or for bad, like, bring out the passion. I know I was a member last year, and, you know, when Butler's not there, they're not winning. And, you know, when he's, you know, they're like 10-13 or whatever without Butler, and they're a top four team with him. So this is beautiful. I think it's good. He's that critic, and it's just, I want everyone to kind of step up, and I hope that's what's going to happen.
Thanks for your call. But the problem is, I don't think you ever get Butler to be that leader here, because I think he's already forfeited those. I think he's given that up. And Glenn Taylor is mystified by all of this. And I'm told that Butler doesn't like Tibbs right now. Taylor's trying to work with Butler. Taylor and Tibbs are not doing real well. And so you get all this stuff going on. It must be the Timberwolves. It must be basketball season. That's all you can say in this market. I'm at 30 years, and they've gone by past the first round of the playoffs once. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. Taking your phone calls on Jimmy Butler and how do we handle this whole situation. You have a vote in this thing because you can decide whether or not to go to the games. Let's go to Christy on line one. Christy, you're on.
Yeah, you know what? I think Tibbs should be fired. He vouched for this guy and laid everything on the line for him. The contract was not long. So, you know what? He's being a spoiled baby ass, and I'm tired of it. And you know what? We don't need him. There's rumors of this and that, everything else going around, and it's just ridiculous. You just got to go with what we got, and you can't have the people running the asylum. It's ridiculous. It's
crazy. But you know what? They do need him or somebody of similar stature to replace him.
No, Okay,
they're not good enough without him or someone of equal value.
Right. So what I want to ask you is, can he buy out his own contract?
No, he can retire. I don't think that's going to happen. But he can't buy it out.
Because they're like, well, if he can buy out his own contract and doesn't want to be here, then he should do that.
Hey, Glenn Taylor could buy it out, but then you end up getting nothing for him and you pay him for no services. So you got to hang on to him. Thank you for your call, though. Appreciate the passion. Let's go to Ron on line two. Ron, you're on.
Maxie, 30 years I've been a season ticket holder with these clowns.
Yep.
I've run out of patience. Something's got to be done with these prima donnas. Going back to Marbury, going back to Spree Wheels, going back to all the rest of these clowns. Something has to be done. Have they figured it out yet?
Well, the league is set up in such a way that the partnership is such that the players finally figured out they can run the league. Kevin Love did the exact same thing Jimmy Butler did. They just traded him before it ever got to a point where he had to make a decision about coming to training camp or not. But he did the same thing. He forced the trade. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want Flip Saunders to be, whatever it was. Didn't like the culture. And by the time, and then they, you know, they start working it. So LeBron James is on the other end of Cleveland saying, get over here. And before you know it, LeBron James makes a trade for Kevin Love, and they give up Wiggins after he's been drafted number one overall in Cleveland. I mean, that literally happened, you know.
Isn't that funny how they shuffle around like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and Minnesota's always the whooping, you know. They're always the willing partner because they got nothing, you know. There's nothing to save this franchise for. They haven't built a culture where people want ever. Even when Flip and Kevin, they were never a destination that people wanted to be at. They were able to pay big for Sprewell and Olea Candy that year and Sam Cassell because they were looking for money. But other than that, there's nobody that's come here. They've been able to woo here. And then you get Garnett in there. I mean, he got Flip Saunders fired the first time, and then when they needed each other, they came back and tried to go kumbaya, so he makes a trade for Garnett, and they're going to buy the team together. I mean, some of the ridiculous stuff that's happened over there. I don't know where it ends, but this is just another chapter in what has been a sad saga. Thank you for your call, Ron. Appreciate it. Plenty of football talk straight ahead. Glenn Caruso as they prepare for the Tommy Johnny showdown. It should be, if it's not windy, it'll be just perfect up there. Leaves will be the right color, all that stuff. We'll visit with him about that. Plus, James Laurinaitis, Ohio State great, breaking down the Gophers and the Buckeyes. All that and more next on Sports to the Max.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.